Folks, how about that little intro from Artis Tubb there? This segment here is brought to us by the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma, owned by the Choctaw Nation. Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Doug's Jugs, maker of some awesome jug lines for catching catfish. That's online, dougsjugs.com. Also by Newella Fish Company. You can order hybrid stripers to stock in your pond or small lakes. They'll ship them right to your door. You put them in your pond. That's Newella Fish Company.
We're talking hogs and eastern turkey and all kind of stuff that we like to talk about. Mike, you were in the middle on the previous segment talking about the Upland study, you know, and the fact that the hogs are about 50% of the problem with the hatch, right?
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit more. So,
well, now, Texas Tech out in Lubbock, I hate to brag on an old rival from the Southwest Conference playing days at SMU, but they're a great school. Got a lot of great friends that went to school out there.
Yep.
They got a phenomenal animal science program. And 10 or 15 years ago, they did a study that was an upland nest predation study. They wanted to know who was messing with the nest on quail and turkey. And four ranches, the Matador, the Wild Matador WMA, the 46s, and one other ranch. I believe I know the guy's name, but I don't want to guess.
Yep.
They volunteered 25,000 acres each of their extended ground, 100,000 acres, a pile of graduate students. They'd go catch hens and put radio collars on them. And when they started nesting, they'd go put a GoPro camera on them, see what was happening to the nest. In 10 years worth of a study, I'll give you statistics if I'm not mistaken. It was all the ants in Texas, including invasive fire ants, was less than 2% of the problem. Possums, skunks, coons, armadillos, coyotes, bobcats, crows, and birds of prey, hawks, were 40 to 42% of the problem, which those eight items right there, any ranch in Texas could have all eight of those on any given day or have none of them on any given day.
Yep, for sure.
They're on our, that's part of God's will here, and that they have a reason here. But the wild hogs turned out to be 55% of the predation on the eggs. They never get to make a chick. And if you think about it, when you were a kid and when I was a kid, there was birds all over East Texas around this timber and the sandy loam stuff, you know.
Oh, quail, yes, for sure. You
bet. We didn't have to go to West Texas or South Texas quail hunting in those days. We could come to Red River County from Mesquite in those days and hunt.
Exactly.
But it's not like that anymore, and God forbid what's happened up in the panhandle of Texas with all the fires that's just ended here in the last couple of weeks, the big panhandle fire.
Yeah.
It burned 1 million acres of ground. That country had come back, Luke. I was up there a couple times this year hunting, and there was places north of 40 that was as good a quail hunting as it's ever been in Texas, in my eyes. And the fires just, you know, wiped out what all they had to be
on. But that was devastating. You know, you've got to also wonder, I do, of course, there's the eastern turkey. That's a niche type thing, really. I mean, that's just one area of the eastern part of the state. But the Rios, you know, the hogs have to be hammering the eggs on the Rios, but I guess the fact that there's the Rio is turkey is so widespread.
So many Rios that they you know, they've got a good footprint on the ground. The easterns had been restocked and reintroduced back in the 70s. Your late friend and mine too, Bob Hood, and you come up here years ago when we did a big article on that deal, and it was working then, Luke. It was working.
It was. And you know where I live, folks, Mike knows the area. I live about 25 miles southeast of Dallas. Mike, there's a 15,000 acre cattle ranch. No, it's not so much cattle. They have a few cattle, but hay and all that. 15,000 acres along the East Fork of the Trinity. And we're talking about 20, as the crow flies, 25 miles southeast of Dallas, Kaufman County. they stock that ranch. Now, it's on the fringe between eastern Turkey and Rios, but the biologists determined that Rios would probably do better. But they stocked it 6 years ago with, I don't know, quite a few Rios. Those things are, I mean, I'm no biologist, but they stay in the bottoms, you know, during the winter. That's where turkeys roost. But I've got a buddy that's got some land adjacent to the 15,000 acre ranch. These turkeys, I've even had them up in my yard, hens, in the spring.
Something
happens with the turkey flock about right now, and it's crazy, and I've watched it. And I'm mostly speaking about Rios. But they'll stay in the bottoms where they spend the winter, and they'll be eating old acorns and whatever. But there's something that may be the same thing that triggers the migration of waterfowl. I don't know what it is. But I was down there last year filming a video of turkeys, and my buddy, he lives right there and watches them every day. They come to his feeders, and he says, Luke, about right now, these turkeys are going to disperse. Well, I live a mile from him. I drove down, and by golly, I watched those turkeys hit the road through the woods. I mean, they were obviously had a mission going somewhere. That same day, when I got back home, I saw hen turkeys a mile and a half from there out in the field. So yeah, they do disperse, and I guess that's nature's way of spreading
them,
you know?
Spring, the birds stay grouped up in the winter for survival. And, you know, they're socialistic birds, so they want other birds around them.
Yep.
When spring gets here, them hens get the mother making initiative that the good Lord gives them. They're going to go find them a nest. They're going to get out of them hardwood bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get up in them hills where there's some grass and they can build a nest. And so that's when you see them start separating from a flock. They're getting ready to start breeding as spring comes, and you know, right now the dogwoods are bloomed, so the bass are spawning and turkeys are goblins, what the old rules say, right?
Exactly, yep, right.
So that's what's going on. When they start leaving their roosting areas, they're always looking for food, so they're going to be scrounging for food everywhere they go. But come springtime and we start seeing them 70-degree and 80-degree days, then 50 and 60-degree nights, it doesn't get cool. They're ready to go make a nest and get on with the propagation of making more turkeys.
That's what turkeys do every year. Yeah,
yep.
And that's amazing. And of course, you'll see them out eating a lot of green stuff right now too. They do. They love, you know, like green fields and things like that. Well, you know, in my writing and in the newspaper columns and things like that I write, Mike, people, I do not ever recommend East Texas as a, I mean, there are eastern turkey here. I'd like to see them kind of left alone, but maybe that's not even the answer. Right across the Red River is some darn good eastern turkey hunting up in southeastern Oklahoma.
Great turkey hunting over in Oklahoma.
Yes, and that's where I recommend people if they want to go up there. The Choctaw Nation is one of my sponsors, and there's the Choctaw Hunting Lodge, which is a hunting lodge, but it's also 45,000 acres of mountain country, Kaimishis, there in southeast Oklahoma. But I've hunted turkey up there some, and a place like that, if you want an eastern, a lot of Texans have never shot an eastern turkey. And do you I've killed two, and one of them was on your place. You remember that? That was my first one right there. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't know the history of turkey in our country. The Rio birds that we have here, they're a cross between the Eastern and the Merriams out west. That's what made the Rios. The Rios were not a natural species of turkeys. They come together eventually when the Easterns and the Merriams range met, which is from here to the mountains of New Mexico, if you may, and that's almost 1,000 miles, a third of the way across the country, right?
Yep.
So when Easterns and the Merriam's birds of the mountains met and they crossed, the Rio Grande birds is what come out of that crossing. And that's what we have predominantly, probably 98% of the turkeys in Texas are Rios. Well, they were not native to here. They come when the Easterns met the Merriam's, and then look at the birds we've got. Us, Western Oklahoma, most of Kansas, a lot of Nebraska. on up through the Dakotas, that country, a lot of it is rios until you get to the mountains, and then that's biriums. But the rios come from easterns and merriams mating and making a literally like an F1 cross, like a Hereford bull breeding a Bremer cow.
Or a hybrid bass.
You come up with an F, what the cattle people call an F1 hybrid. They yep. recognize that tiger stripe Bremer mm-hmm. cow with a white face as a registered stock, being 100% bloodlines. The cattle industry did that years ago, and that's probably the most popular cow out on the market is that tiger stripe white face mama, because she's got enough Bremer in her to be really good with taking care of her baby and milking, and she's got enough Hereford in her to put some beef on her.
I'll be, Mike, I always learn something when I visit with you, buddy. And one one thing I did learn, I didn't know that about the Rios. I did not know that. I just wonder, you know, and I don't know if you, this happened, I guess, way back. I mean, you think maybe way back in.
Hundreds of years
ago. Right?
Yeah. But long before got here, Luke.
Yep. Well, buddy, thank you so much for, I always enjoy visiting with you and want to get up there and back to the homeland and see y'all before too much longer. But coming up is Bill Dance. It's kind of interesting, Mike. My uncle Luke Clayton owned Camp Carefree, which was on an oxbow lake off the Mississippi, 25 miles from Memphis, near Hughes, Arkansas. So when I was a boy back in, when I was 14, 15, I'd go up there and work in the summertime with, for my uncle, gassing boats and stuff you do around a marina, you know, just whatever.
Right.
Bill Dance was cutting his fishing teeth back in those days. Well, my uncle used to furnish him rental boats to fish out of there at Horseshoe Lake. That's where the Camp Carefree was. Okay, I didn't know Bill Dance from Adam, and he sure didn't know Luke Clayton. Bill was just a young man starting bass fishing, you know, back at that time. Come to find out, when I was doing the fishing tips thing for the Dallas Morning News, I got the call from Bill Dance. He says, Luke Clayton? Is this Luke Clayton? I said, this is Luke Clayton. He said, well, I knew Luke Clayton that owned Camp Carefree. He was my best friend. That's how the tie with Bill Dance came in. Well, I probably got 10 hours of recording with Bill, and I pulled out of the archive. That's coming up right now. So after the break, I want you to listen to it. It's something I recorded with Bill 20-something years ago. But the Bill Dance is coming out in him. I mean, he was way more than just a good fisherman. He's a great guy. But you can hear, if you listen, you can hear some bass knowledge from Bill when he's talking.
Yeah, good. I've always enjoyed him.
He's a gentleman, Mike. Well, thank you so much, buddy, for being with us. And
you too. Look, always a pleasure. From you, and you know there's not a whole lot of Red River County rats left. You better get on up here and enjoy it a little bit more.
I hear you, buddy. Take care, folks. This is Luke. For about the past decade, I've been hunting editor for Air Gun Hobbyist magazine. I think the only magazine devoted strictly to air gun shooting and hunting in the country. Well, in that length of time, I've learned quite a bit about big bore air guns and smaller calibers too. A spot to go to that if you're interested in air guns, you need to know about Pyramid Air. The website is PYRAMYD, pyramidair.com. They have anything and everything you need, from the guns themselves, the big bores or the smaller calibers, to the accessories. Just remember pyramidair.com, and there's a number when you get on the website if you need to call and talk to somebody. Give them a buzz, and they can fill you in on little details that you might need to know about shooting or hunting with big bore air guns. While you're on the website there, I'd like you to check out the big bore air gun that I've done a great deal of hunting with. It's the Seneca Dragon Claw, 50 caliber, pressures up to 3,000 PSI, and it looks like a conventional rifle. Wooden stock. I think you'll like the appearance, and I know you'll like the performance. It shoots not only bullets, but also air bolts as well, tipped with a broadhead. Check it out. It's the Seneca Dragon Claw.